Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, a couple days ago, this headline appeared in the Hollywood Reporter. It said this: Jim Carrey slams California school vaccine legislation. It's poisoning more children, he said. That's a quote. Carrey tweeted that Governor Jerry Brown is a corporate fascist who must be stopped. Jim Carrey is speaking out against the new legislation requiring all public school children in California to be vaccinated starting in 2016. Carrey, who has been an outspoken critic of vaccinations, said Governor Jerry Brown needed to be stopped. Quote, California governor says yes to poisoning more children with mercury and aluminum in mandatory vaccines. This corporate fascist must be stopped, Carrey tweeted of Brown, who signed the legislation on Thursday. The new legislation removes personal belief exemption to vaccinations for religious reasons. Carrey was once in a relationship with Jenny McCarthy, the public face of the anti-vaccination movement. She has said her son developed autism after receiving a vaccination. Fellow celebrities have also voiced their displeasure with the law, taking to Twitter to retweet those voicing similar positions and writing their own opinions condemning the compulsory vaccination law. Carrey goes on in the article to say that he is not anti-vaccine, that he is just anti-mercury and he's anti-aluminum. And he says this in one of his tweets: I am not anti-vaccine. I am anti-thimerosal and anti-mercury. They have taken some of the mercury-laden thimerosal out of vaccines, but not all. And he repeats that again over and over in these tweets. Well, I saw a press release that just came out recently from the National Vaccine Information Center. And in that press release, they talk about this new California law, and they say that it threatens human and civil rights in America. Joining us now on the program is the co-founder and president of the National Vaccine Information Center. That's Barbara Lowe Fisher. Barbara, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Well, thank you for inviting me back.
Well, Barbara, tell us what you write about in this most recent press release, just came out yesterday, where you talk about what Governor Brown has done and why you're opposing what he has done.
Well, SB 277 that was enacted into law by Governor Jerry Brown on June 29th denies parents the legal right to file a personal belief exemption to vaccination for religious and conscientious beliefs so their children can attend school. This bill was backed by powerful corporate medical trade and government lobbyists. It took them just 6 months this year to gut the human right to informed consent to medical risk-taking and the civil right to a school education in California. The thousands of California families showed up at these hearings that were held in the Senate and Assembly this year. It was the most people that had shown up at the Capitol repeatedly on a single bill, I was told, since the Vietnam War protests. The families, many of the parents brought their children, their babies and their children, as they waited in hours in these halls in this state capitol, and they also protested in public rallies. They vastly outnumbered the supporters of the bill. However, it was, you know, these politically powerful groups have a lot of money and a lot of influence in legislators, and particularly in states where there is a one-party dominates a government, you know. And so we had some very eloquent statements that were made by, actually, there were a crossing of political lines on both sides, But when these very contentious floor votes happened, because the legislators didn't know what to do with this incredible strong show of opposition. Hmm. And so, the debates were very contentious. But at the end of the day, you had a vote that was, I think it was 25-10 in the Senate and 46-30 in the Assembly to approve. And then Governor Brown didn't even wait. I think it was just a couple of days, and he immediately signed the bill.
Hmm.
So it was rammed through. There were no hearings held in the Appropriations Committees in either the Senate or Assembly. So the problem is that parents now in California are going to have to get multiple doses of 10 federally recommended vaccines unless they can find a medical doctor to grant a medical vaccine exemption. That medical exemption has been so narrowed by the federal government that under federal guidelines, doctors deny medical exemptions to 99.99% of children.
Hmm.
So if parents cannot find a doctor to write a medical exemption and they do not get all of these vaccines, they cannot send their children to daycare or school. They will have to homeschool. If they cannot financially or have other reasons for not being able to homeschool, they may be subject to truancy laws, and that includes fines, imprisonment, and imprisonment for failing to provide their children with an education, and that, of course, could lead to the children being taken from them.
Hmm.
So the National Vaccine Information Center, our mission is to prevent vaccine injuries in deaf through public education. We're a nonprofit charity, and we strongly defend the human right to informed consent to medical risk-taking. That means that you have the right to have full information about the benefits and risks of a medical intervention, including a pharmaceutical product like a vaccine that can carry a risk of injury or death that can be greater for some people than other people. And you have the right to make a decision for yourself or on behalf of your minor child without being subjected to coercion or duress or threats like the threat of withholding a school education. And that's why we are positioning this as parents being forced to choose between the exercise of their human right to informed consent and medical risk-taking and their civil right to get an education. Now, I think what people need to understand is these types of forced vaccination laws are going into all the states, and they're not going to just cover children, because the federal government and medical trade groups and pharmaceutical companies have as a goal the elimination of our right to really function in society, be able to get a job, be able to have medical care, be able to have an education, unless we've received all the federally recommended vaccines. And let's take a look at what that child schedule looks like today. When my children were being vaccinated in the 70s and in the 80s late 70s and 80s. The federal recommendation was 23 doses of 7 vaccines for children between age of 2 months and 6 years. That schedule has grown to 69 doses of 16 vaccines, with 49 doses of 14 vaccines given between day of birth and age 6. That's triple the numbers of vaccines our children got 30 years ago. What has happened in the last 30 years? Have we seen a greater health among our children? No, we have seen a decline in health among our children.
Mm-hmm.
There are millions of children now that are suffering with all kinds of brain and immune system disorders and are filling our special education classrooms. They cannot build those classrooms fast enough to accommodate all the special needs children. Now, I'm not saying the vaccines are solely responsible for that, but I'm saying that when you have the Institute of Medicine acknowledging repeatedly in reports published in the last 20 years that there are huge gaps in vaccine safety science, that doctors still don't know how to screen out children who are at higher risk than other children from suffering vaccine injury and death for genetic and biological reasons, you cannot leave off the research table, as they are doing, the possibility that we don't understand all of the potential negative effects that the increased vaccine use is having on children's brains and immune systems.
Mm-hmm. The interaction of one of those vaccines with the other vaccine, when you're talking about 69 different doses of it at such a young age, especially during the developmental period where their immune system is developing as well during that time, it just doesn't even make sense that you would introduce all of those foreign substances at that time of development, at that rate of 69 different doses, as you were discussing. Let me ask, you would think that there would be some great public health emergency that was taking place that would cause California and their state officials to make some sort of a decision like this, but there really wasn't, right?
Not really. The excuse for this bill and being passed in California was the measles outbreak earlier this year that was associated with Disneyland. And there was a lot of publicity nationally about it, certainly in California. At the end of the day, 134 cases of measles. The outbreak ended in California within 3 months after it began, using traditional public health measures. And what are the statistics associated with those 134 measles cases in California? Well, 18%, only 18% were in school-aged children. The majority were in adults. 30% of measles cases in California that had vaccine records had been vaccinated. The total, I looked at the CDC's website, the total for measles in this country right now is in around 170-some cases nationally.
Hmm.
Last year, it was 644 cases of measles nationally for the whole year. There is no public health emergency in California or any other state that justifies us giving up our civil and human rights.
It's hardly an epidemic when you talk about those numbers. How many people have actually died from measles cases in the United States versus how many people have died from the vaccinations?
Well, I wish I could tell you how many people had died from vaccinations. The problem is that doctors that are completely shielded from civil liability when they give these vaccines to children and adults don't have any legal requirement to report the deaths and injuries that occur after vaccination. It is in the federal National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986. We were responsible, our organization was responsible for the safety provisions in that law that did mandate that doctors do report these deaths and injuries after vaccination, but there were no sanctions, legal sanctions attached in that law. So basically doctors can blow them off. And they don't. Only about 10%, perhaps less than 1%, of all vaccine injuries and deaths are ever reported to the Federal Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. In terms of measles, there has been no death, at least yet, that has been reported associated with the measles outbreak in this country, either this year or last year. In fact, I think not a death in the last 10 years from measles. Now, you know, measles, like every other infectious disease, can cause complications for some people and can end in injury and death. The same is true for vaccination. And one of the points that I made in the testimony that I gave in the California Assembly Health Committee on June 9th of this year was that you cannot it's not ethical to place a higher value on the life of someone who has a complication from an infectious disease than on the life of someone who has a complication from a vaccination. And that's really what this bill is really penalizing. People who, for genetic and biological reasons, cannot get through the process of vaccination without having a complication leading to injury and death. Because doctors, it's leaving all of the power in the hands of medical doctors.
Yes.
Who many of them are denying that these vaccine reactions and deaths occur. And so if they have the total power to tell you whether or not your child can go to school, by whether or not they'll give you a medical exemption, this is tyranny. This is a violation of a human right to informed consent to medical risk-taking. And that's what I have been messaging for more than 20 years. I've been saying to Americans, you need to understand that it's a slippery slope here.
Mm-hmm. I think that that point right there should cause people, whether you are pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine, whether you are just, you believe in them, but not the amount of them that are given or so forth. This transcends all of those discussions. This is the idea of, does the federal government have the right to force you to take something into your body, to shoot something into your body against your will, and to shoot it into the body of your children? I would think that Americans, that all Americans, if they knew what was actually being said here, would rise up in opposition to this and say, I will make the decision for my own children as to what sort of medication they will be given. But that message doesn't seem to come out in most press releases. We see it in yours, but in the general press, the mainstream press that comes out, it's this idea that all these people were infected at Disneyland, and it's because of those people that won't vaccinate their children. You said something very interesting at the end of that. You said 30% of the measles cases that were there in California at Disneyland had been with people that were vaccinated already. And I think that people don't understand that just because you're vaccinated doesn't mean that you still aren't going to get measles. Is that correct?
That's right. And it's not just true for measles. It's true for pertussis, known as whooping cough.
Mm-hmm.
There have been, the FDA several years ago admitted that you can be fully vaccinated. You can get infected with whooping cough, show no symptoms or few symptoms, and transmit pertussis to other vaccinated and unvaccinated people. And a study just came out in the British Medical Journal that in the last few weeks that confirmed that there are a lot of people who are getting vaccinated. And at this point, I think it's 6 doses of pertussis-containing vaccines, either DTaP or TDAP vaccines, that are required for children. And you can have all those vaccines and still transmit pertussis to other people. So it's an illusion,
mm-hmm,
that if everybody in school is vaccinated, that the immune-compromised, which is people, the immune-compromised children will be protected. It's an illusion, and it's a dangerous illusion, because those children, there's this misinformation that,
mm-hmm,
immune-compromised children will be and adults will be protected if everybody else is vaccinated. That's not true.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's an important point, especially from where I'm sitting. As a pastor, I get people making the biblical argument. They say, out of love, you should go ahead and submit to these vaccinations so that you would never cause somebody else to get sick with a illness that could be very, very serious for them. And the question is, that I always think of, is if your children are vaccinated and you're telling me that vaccination is the answer, that this is going to stop anybody else from getting the disease, then why would you possibly be concerned about my child who's not vaccinated? It doesn't make any sense. Why your child should be, in a bubble, a vaccination bubble, and be protected from anything that my child could possibly convey. So I don't buy the argument, and I don't think that it is Christian love means that we go ahead and inject things into our children that we just don't know exactly what the results are that are from these 69 different doses that we're being told, that forced in this case, to put into our children's body.
Well, I would agree with you that again, I made a statement that the right of the state to tell us what to do to our bodies or our children's bodies ends where our right to protect our lives and our children's lives begins.
Mm-hmm.
They are using this illusion of vaccine-acquired herd immunity as a club to try to paint people who are standing up for their human and civil rights as being selfish and being a danger to the public health. And what it really is it's a masquerading of what they don't know about the safety and effectiveness of these vaccines. They're trying to pretend as if they know, and they don't know, but they still want everyone to obey them.
Mm.
And I believe that we need to protect in our country the right to hold religious beliefs, spiritual beliefs, and conscientious beliefs
mm-hmm.
when it comes to making decisions that in many cases are life and death decisions for ourselves and our children.
Mm-hmm. Barbara, is there any case that you envision where there was some sort of a massive outbreak of some disease where the state would have a responsibility or a obligation to require people to be vaccinated?
That's a really interesting ethical question. Many years ago, when I was sitting on the Institute of Medicine Vaccine Safety Forum, we had a workshop, and I invited a noted ethicist and who at the time was at Catholic University to address this question. And it was interesting because I was unprepared for some of the points that he made that day, as were many of the scientists and physicians in that room. And he pointed out that the compensation system, the federal vaccine injury compensation system, that pays people who have been injured by government-mandated vaccines was really blood money.
Hmm.
And he said that when it comes down to when would the state have the right to force you to risk your life for a vaccine, he said only when the numbers of deaths outnumber the numbers of births. In other words, only when you had more people dying from an infectious disease than you had surviving would it justify forced vaccination.
Hmm.
Now, that many people would disagree with that. But I think it's interesting to note that there has been no epidemic in the history of man
mm-hmm.
where that has been true, even the great plagues of the Middle Ages,
mm-hmm.
where about 30%, 30 to 40% of people died from the plague. And
right.
in some cases, there was a 30% death rate in some smallpox epidemics in the Middle Ages.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly not in the 21st century, 20th or 21st century, have we had anything, any type of disease outbreak that even comes close to that.
And I think that the solution would be, well, one, we need more transparency on just exactly what the data is saying about vaccination so that we can make an informed decision. I think that that there's other ways that we can go about public health as well without putting yourself at such a risk. You talked about this case in California through normal channels, normal medical procedures, apart from saying, hey, everybody's got to be vaccinated, forced to be vaccinated. This, the measles outbreak petered out, and it didn't measure up to all the hype that it was given. And so there's other ways of dealing with this without overriding people's rights and demanding then that the government knows best, and we're going to take your children and shoot this into their arm, into their body, and you have no say about it at all. I only have about a minute left, Barbara, but I just wanted to give you the final word, and I wanted to make sure that people understand that Barbara is not anti-vaccine. She is pro-information. And if you want information about a lot of good information about vaccines, you can go out to her website, which is nvic.org. That stands for the National Vaccine Information Center. That's nvic.org. Barbara, your final word?
I encourage everyone to get fully informed about the risks and complications of infectious diseases and vaccines. Talk to one or more trusted healthcare professionals. Do your research. And then fight for your right to make an informed and voluntary decision about vaccine use for yourself or your child.
Mm. Barbara, thank you so much. Thank you for the work that you do there at NVIC. And thank you so much for taking the time out to talk with us today about this important issue.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Again, that was Barbara Lowe Fisher, and she is the co-founder and president of the National Vaccine Information Center. For me, this comes down to the issue of statism again. Here we see another aspect where the federal government is saying, hey, we know best on this situation. We know better than parents. We will tell you what we need to do. And people, in my mind anyways, just blindly following whatever they say to do rather than thinking for yourself and looking at all of the aspects of this. We need to know what before we make a decision. The Bible says a fool judges a matter before he knows the whole of it. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.